My name is Jonah, I'm an athlete. So I might as well leave the lid off because I know I'm going to be drinking some more. I don't understand why. You know, I just started drinking water. There's this ritual that you go, you know how we are with rituals. No, I put the fucking cap back on. Why do you do that? You know you're going to drink some more. I never can understand it, but I do it. Because now I'm a water drinker, and you know, that's what I have to do. It doesn't make sense, but it's what I see water drinkers do, so I do. Tradition. A couple people asked me if I was speaking up here this weekend, and I said, yeah. And they said, well, what you speaking on? I said, well, the tradition and service. And they looked at me and they said, well, which one? And I said, well, all of them. And then the next question was, well, how long is the meeting? And I don't know if that's because of me. Or if that's just because there's 12 of them, you know, plus 30. So I think, I don't know, you know, I can't think. Yeah. I get more watches that way. Fuck tradition. You know, that was part of my problem when I got here. Seriously, I can say, I'm even now, I've been clean for a little over 11 years, even now I try and justify a rebellious spirit. Even now I try and say, well, you know, it's been a bad thing being a rebel. There were good people that were rebels. Look how shit changes. You know, somebody rebels against this stuff. You know, and I try and justify this rebellious spirit in me. And boy, it really, really was in evidence when people would talk about tradition. And I didn't even like the word. You know, the word just sounded awful to me. You know, it sounded like, you know, first thing I thought of was, well, they're rich. And then I thought, well, they're Republican. You know, I thought they were Yankee fans or some shit like that. Yeah, I'm guessing I have all these prejudices. And I might not be prejudiced about color, but man, I am sure prejudiced about a lot of shit in my life. I really am. And the minute I own that, see it, it begins to change for me. And one of the things I was prejudiced against was these traditions. Because the people that were like so in charge of them, I felt like they were trying to control me. And you know, I just felt like, well, man, don't you want me to blossom and bloom here, you know? What are you putting this fence around me for? And I gradually come to realize that it's not a fence, it's a bridge. Yeah, it's really a bridge. It's a bridge from me to you. It's one of the things that allows us to do something together that maybe we could never do, and which is recover. Because, the very first one, is like an animal. You know, it's our calling. Our common welfare. That's what we're here for. And I ain't here to like get a lot of other things. You know, there's some things that have come my way and I'm real grateful for. But man, that isn't why I came here. I didn't even come here to recover. You know, I truly didn't. I didn't come here to like stop using. I came here to stop hurt. That's why I came here. I'm not exactly sure why I even stayed. You know, I'm really not, to be real honest with you. But I stayed long enough to begin to hear the message, you know. And the message was in effect for me at first. And I was involved with service probably about 60 to 90 days into my journey into this way of life. And I got involved as a secretary for a home group. And then they actually took a vote. I don't know how it is anymore. I mean, like now, is that you can sit up and take nourishment, you know, in your trusted service. But then, like, you know, we actually had some choices, and, you know, now, I mean, it's like, you know, then they just took a vote. And I'm nervous, because I never got elected, voted for, and for nothing. And so it was a real, and I had to go through this interview process, you know. And one of them was with one of these traditionalist kind of guys, you know, and the other one was with my sponsor. So I figured if the worst was the worst, I had a tied vote, you know. But And they came back to me like, and it wasn't like what, you know, like how we do. You step out of the room, hear people talk about it, then you come back, and everybody claps like they just did you a favor. Well, they were just beating your ass up, you know. And then they say, well, wasn't that fun, you know, and they clap for you. And you feel good because now you get to serve them. Yeah. But, I mean, like, they waited a couple of days. And I waited a couple of days. And then they told me, yeah, we'd love to have you be the secretary. And here's what your duties are. And my duties were, you know, like most secretaries. You open the meetings, go out and you go an hour early, set the coffee out and put the readings out, greet people, and keep everybody like in touch with what's going on. And I did that for like 3 years. And I don't understand this like year term shit, you know, because we just don't seem to do that too much up in Meadville. Except when somebody wants to get out of it. You know, I've been doing it for a year now, I can leave. You know, but it's really like, you know, you do it until you're done. You do it until you're done. And if you trust God, then you know when you're done. And then you move on to another form of service. And positions aren't the only form of service. And there's all kinds of service. And my service begins when I come in. And I look at you, greet you, give you one of those hugs, you know, tell you I love you, it's so good to see you. And that's service. That's why I'm like, I'm giving something back. So, I mean, that's like just such a fundamental part of service. And the positions are nice, you know, and it talks about them in our traditions about how they're trusted servants. And I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know about where you came from, but I have a feeling not too many people trusted you. You know, I mean, they could count on you. They could count on you to do certain things, but they just couldn't trust you. You know, and I'm like, now, I mean, and it was that way for me. I mean, I couldn't be trusted. I couldn't be trusted. I could be counted on not to. You know, I could say I was going to be there, but I could be counted on not to. You know, you just wouldn't like, want to lay out the sub table for me, you know? Somebody did this at me, and I heard him say, yeah, trusted service. And thank God for trusted. That's how we get to retreat. You know, they don't farm this in from like out of state. This isn't a prepackaged deal. Now, people work long and hard and for very little compensation other than a thank you at the end. You know, so, I mean, that's what they get. You know, so, I mean, they've trusted service. And we come here and we get to, like, do this because somebody served us. Nobody served me. You hear me? Nobody served me. I was in service. I was busy serving. I had a disease that required me 24/7 to be present and accountable. I served. I served it whether I wanted to or not, whether there was a wedding or not, whether it was a funeral, a meal, a birthday, whether I was tired or awake, whether I was hungry or lonely, whether I was with or without. I served it. I served. Here, I get to serve something else. I get to serve you. When I share, it's a form of service. It's a form of giving back. When I listen, when I sit and listen, it's a form of service. Because this is a circle. This is a circle that we connect with. We connect with each other, and it connects to a power greater than. And that circle is just so powerful. And wherever we sit in the circle, we're serving the circle. And it's about service. And our primary purpose, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go through all of this. If I did, then Gil wouldn't get to talk. You know? But there's some things about them that are just really important to me. And one of them is that it talks about unity. And I think the whole common thread through them, for me, has been like this message of unity. It says something, I think it's in the first tradition, I'm not sure about this. It says something about self-sufficiency is a lie. And I don't know, I mean, like, I always thought I could get by on my own. I didn't need you. But it's kind of cool having you around, but I didn't need you. And I arranged my life in such a manner that I kept you away from me. You could cross the moat, you could come up to the drawbridge. Some of you, I'd even let the drawbridge down, but there was another wall inside, and another wall inside, and another wall inside, and another wall inside, and way down deep in the basement, way in the back where it was cold and dark is where I was. Self-sufficient. On my own. I believed that. I believe that I could do it by myself. Does it hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. Are you okay? Sure, I'm fine. Do you need anything? No, everything's cool. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I'm fine. Then I would just hold while I was bleeding inside, broken inside, just not going to say it out loud. Oh, my God. It hurts so much. And I need somebody just to put their arms around. Tell me it's going to be okay. Just that it's going to be okay. That it's going to stop hurting just for a moment. And then the hurt goes away when somebody holds you. And somebody touches you. Something miraculous happens when we do that for each other. And then that's what self-sufficiency kept me from. Even when I've been here, even after I've been here for a long time, then somebody will say to me, sometimes it's somebody who's near and dear to be my sponsor. How are you doing? Then the first words out of my mouth, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not going to tell them. You know, but they stay. They ask the second and the third question. But how are you? How are you really? Yeah, sometimes, you know, that first question, that's easy. We can hit that one back. Yeah? And we can just keep on going. Oh, you want to, you got another question. Then all of a sudden you're pissed. You know, you can't just keep hitting them all back because you hear the sincerity in the voice. They really want to know. See, I think maybe my, you know, just like this revelation, just now, maybe I just didn't believe anybody really wanted to know. I mean, you really want to know? Do you really, really want to know? Because, you know, I mean, how you doing? And really, how you doing is just like a way of saying how you're doing. You know, you're only asking me how I'm doing, so you can tell me how it's going with you. You know what I'm saying? It was just like a doorway into you. And that was my prejudice. I didn't know you were sincere. I didn't know you really meant it. I didn't know when you told me that you loved me that it was true. I just couldn't believe it, man. It's just a process for me. And these traditions guarantee me an environment where that can happen. And it talks about primary purpose. My primary purpose for so many years was like, you know, living to you, using to live, finding the ways and means to get more. And it wasn't always about substance. It really wasn't always about, it was about something outside of myself to put inside myself to feel better. Hell no. Especially when you, know, nobody ever told me that I was going to get to be 58. And I, you know, I still don't believe it. I don't. You know, I was 58 the 19th of this month. Wow. That's fucking old. You know, I mean, you know, if somebody else is 58, I'm looking at him and, you know, I don't feel any different than what I have for years and years and years, truly, other than my body's kind of breaking down. But that's nothing, you know, and I can deal with that. But I mean, inside, I'm still young. But it's telling me that maybe, like, by definition, that's who I am, not how old I am. Not what race I am. Not what sex I am. You know, not what my religious beliefs are, wrong. I'm just junk. And if that's true about me, because that's what this talks about, because that's my personal recovery. The only place I can find that is here. The only way I can have that is if that's true about you too. So that I don't start seeing you as a thing, as a description, as somebody with an adjective. You know what I'm saying? I start to see you as a spirit and as a person. And man, that's what this talks about. And I want to share a little bit about the sixth tradition. Because it mentions three words that are just real powerful. And maybe in some ways, in my experience, since I've been here, maybe the least appreciated for the potential destruction that they have of any three words that we have. And that's money, property, and the worst form for me is prestige. Prestige. Because I think prestige is how you perceive me. You know? That's important. I want you to like me. I want you to like me. So I can get caught up in like doing things that cause you to like me. You know, I mean, I'm busy sometimes. Yeah, I'll do that, I'll do this. And it's not just about you. It's about anybody and everybody. I'll say, I don't want just you to like me. We're talking a universal endeavor here. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about the clerk at the store who just, you know, buried her father, perhaps, having a terrible day, and I can't understand why she's not smiling at me. You know, and I can't accept her. And I found out the hard way that the longer you stay and knock at somebody's door that they don't want answers, pretty soon you get a response that you weren't bargaining for. It's get the fuck out of here. If I wanted you here, I'd have answered the door. You know, and it's that kind of thing with a smile. I mean, I just need to let some people be. And that's hard for me. I mean, it's hard for me to do that. And that's a little bit about prestige, and maybe that's like a reach for you, but believe me, for me, that's a daily event. Because I know I'm okay. If I just stand where I'm at in this universe, I'm fine. We're not supposed to say that. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. If I'm doing the best I can, can I be any better? I mean, I can't, can I? I might be fucking up right and left as far as some people are concerned, but man, I'm doing the best I can. How could I be any better? I mean, that's my logic. And maybe there's a little bit of a rebellious spirit in there. I'm not sure. But sometimes, you know, I think we just like put ourselves down so hard. So I'm just perfectly me. There's not a flaw in me. There's nothing missing. I'm not like one of those puzzles that you get out of the library. You just hope to God that there's 1,000 pieces. You know, not 990. I'm all ears. I just never knew it. The only place I can get in touch with that is in you. It's in you. I can't do it in of myself. I'm not sufficient enough to touch that place. I need you to take my hand and put it inside me and say, feel that, John. Feel that, John. That's without measure. That's perfect in its creation. You're beautiful. You're perfect the way you are. Man, I'm old. Oh, my. From the time the water broke, I've been looking for that feeling. The only place I've found is here in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I'll tell you what's happened. It's given me a vision. My view has gotten broader. I see more now. I don't just find it here. I find it everywhere I look. Everywhere I look. It's all around me. You've given me the gift of sight to see that which is precious in me and precious in you. And that's here. Now, I don't know what that's got to do about tradition, but I can guarantee you that had we not had tradition, I would have never found it. I would have never found it. What protects the atmosphere of recovery but our 12 traditions? That's what promises us that's what's going to happen here. That we have a primary purpose. And it isn't about like getting money. It isn't about having the biggest meeting, having the best speakers, bringing them in from out of town, doing this and yada-da-da-da, and all that bullshit. But we get so caught up and dress our recovery in and think, oh, ain't it fine, ain't it pretty? But it ain't real. Because what real is inside. And these traditions give me a way to get inside. To get inside where I can find personal recovery. Because it depends on you. It depends on you. And believe it or not, I want to thank the committee for asking me to share. I learned a couple of things. One is that when you're done, you're done. You know? And never apologize. I never apologize. I don't apologize for being long or short. I have a couple of disclaimers, and one of them is that, look, this is God's message. This is God's message. You didn't get something out of it, don't bother me with that. You know? You take it up with God. If you did get a blessing out of it, don't give it to me. give it to God. Okay, because it's God. And there's a message here that an addict, any addict, look at us. It's Saturday afternoon. We're not frightened. We're not feuding. We're not looking for more. We're not wondering if it's any good. Is it here yet? Can we get some more? Can I borrow 20 from you? Come on, I'll pay you back Tuesday. You know, we're not doing that. Look at us. We're the ones they forgot about. We're the ones that were checked off of the list. No. Never going to happen. Forget about it. They're no good. We're the miracles of this universe. You look up and see a star, see an addict in recovery. It's a miracle. Look at a flower, see me. Look at a butterfly go by. It's a miracle what we hear. Grateful. I want to thank you for asking me to share. My sponsor is the program chair. It helps. I just need to get a few more sponsors and program chairs to this. Out of state, I want to fly with the fly. I want to thank John for the watch. Most of all, I want to thank you for listening. I love you, Nick. Thank you.
I want to thank John for speaking. Now time to introduce our second speaker, which is Jill from the Stairways to Recovery group of Narcotics Anonymous in the Northeast Freedom Area.
Hi, my name's, it's Charlie. I'm an addict. They've been calling me Gil since I came in, and it just kind of stuck in. I don't have any problem with that. It's just after doing some step work, I felt that I had to say my birth name. It didn't mean anything, right? So I'm a little nervous, which is strange to me, because I guess about a month ago I spoke in Harlem at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night, and I wasn't nervous at all. Why the hell am I nervous in the middle of the woods? I had no idea, you know? But, the strange thing is, right, I come to tradition meetings a lot, and it seems like the people that go to tradition meetings are the people that already know a little about traditions or are in service, right? Not the people that need to be at the tradition meeting. And that's not saying everybody needs to be at the tradition meeting, but, hopefully I'm preaching to the choir, and I don't want to preach. You know, I'm here to talk about me and my experience. But the traditions is what keeps our fellowship alive and free. Like, this stuff's all real simple to me, and it's almost like I see it in equations, right? It's like my recovery, which, let's not lie about it, whether I'm dying on the street, whether I'm selling my ass to crack, whether I'm stealing and degrading myself and bleeding out every orifice and laying in the middle of the street, or recovery, my recovery depends on our unity. Okay, so that's pretty clear right there, right? And that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions, right? So I could have any personal recovery, and what I found is you either have recovery or no recovery. There is no shitty, right? Well, okay, well, sometimes. Life is life. Life is life and life, but I try to work a program, right? But the deal is, right, I decided early on that if life was going to suck without drugs, fuck it, I'm going to use. Right? Because I didn't know that you could use without drugs. I thought everybody used something, right? And if someone wasn't using drugs, I'm just saying, I thought they was Republican or something, right? I thought there was something wrong with them. But I love Republicans if you're in that end. So, I've been a member of Homegrown in Radford, Virginia, West Philadelphia, El Barrio in Manhattan. That means in general. It's Washington Heights. That was fun. And now I just moved to Baltimore 2 weeks ago, and I got a home group there. It was the second meeting I was at. It was the first day I was there. And became GSR, because they didn't have one. She didn't know how to do it, so I became GSR. And they said, well, Area's this week. It's Wednesday. I said, all right, I'm going to Area. I went to Area, right? They said, there's a GSR workshop this weekend at Region. I went to Region. Joined Leadership Subcommittee. So in the first week, that's what I did my first week in Baltimore. And you know what? It really got me plugged in, right? Because Because this has saved my life just as much as a step, just as much as your hug, just as much as me calling you on the phone, because the first edition, like it's not complicated, this is not blurred. Like, my recovery depends on our unity, right? And so from traveling and being part of these different areas, I've learned a couple things. Now, I've learned that there's tradition breaking and that there is, each group is autonomous. Now, around here, people like to say, "Wee!" when we read the steps, right? That's autonomy. That's cool. That ain't no tradition breaking. I guess a little weird to me. I don't say "wee," okay? That's fine. I think it's real sweet. I still don't do it. That's fine, right? But I'm just going to share what my experience has been. And I'll tell you what, if I'm wrong, show me where it says in our literature, because I trust our literature with my life. The fellowship people have been mistaken because their memory is probably even mine, but it's not perfect. And they told me a religious said something that did. Guess what? My recovery is my responsibility, and I got my own book. So I'll read you some shit. And so in Manhattan, I'm not going to break your head. All right. So those are the areas I've been. Those are the areas I'm in. And now two of them. I'm going to talk about two of them right now. They knew something that was new to me when I went to the first one. They celebrate personal clean time with the anniversary meeting. When I saw this, it was almost instantaneously obvious to me that this was in complete opposition to our self-tradition of personal anonymity. Now the whole thing, like, this is, you know, people get each group's autonomous, that's still carrying the primary purpose because it shows that we got hope, and it shows the newcomer that you can have this clean time. But the traditions are non-negotiable, and it says, I have personal anonymity. It doesn't say I have it unless I don't want it anymore. It doesn't say I got personal anonymity unless I did something good and want to get some credit for it. It says I have personal anonymity. Because this ain't my shit. See, I think my grandfather, he did, I think it was Monday Night Anime History, he went into business. I went there and cried. And this was after I was getting the Southern one. Because how much the traditions meant, how much the fellowship meant to me. And from getting clean in a new area, it was actually, well, it wasn't even Manhattan area at the time. It was before that area started. I saw that when the traditions got broken, meetings went away, and addicts died. It's it. Like, there's nothing in between. And it's just that simple. Like, you know what they say? 1 year clean, you get a license to love, right? 5 years clean, what happens? Your head comes out of your ass? What else? Is there anything else? We have anything to say? How long do you get clean when you don't have to empathize anymore with the newcomer? Is that 10 years? I don't know, because I don't understand it. You know, a lot of shit goes on, and like, when do I forget, like, that the shit that when I came in here that made me feel less than and not a part of, it didn't give me hope? You know, well, today someone told me you got 10 years, it gives me hope. Okay? When I came in here, I felt less than. When someone told me they shot dope for 30 years, well, that's longer than I've been alive. It made me feel less than, which I know today is really sick, like I want to be a good addict or something, right? But I got like that false ego about being an addict, right? And I hear that kind of shit, and like, that makes me feel less than. Not anymore. But I'm talking empathizing with the newcomer. And you know what? It's pretty easy, because I was a newcomer. I was actually a newcomer three times. And I had 3 years clean at one time and relapsed. And you know what did it? Money, property, and prestige. No stopping, going to meetings. No not working some steps. I had just finished my fifth. It was money, property, and prestige. Because my natural tendency, no matter how long I get clean, is to use when I'm in that situation. And if I continue to put myself in that situation, inevitably, I will use. And that situation ripped every reservation I ever had out of my spine. I have no reservations today, and I'm great for that. So you know, this whole empathy, you know, that's what this is all about, right? And when we do stuff like say the Lord's Prayer in an NA meeting, you know, maybe when you get some clean time, you might see spiritual principles that overlap between the Lord's Prayer, for instance, and there's probably other prayers in other religions, that the spiritual principles overlapping. So you don't see the difference between, you don't see the big deal about saying it in the meeting because it's the spiritual principles that count, right? the newcomer doesn't see that. I didn't see that. Maybe newcomers do see that. I didn't see that. My father told me he didn't see that. That's as much as I got. And all I know is that when people come in and they can't relate, they go out and use and die. Yeah, I came in here saying I don't want to die anymore, and now I come in here saying I don't want to kill no one. I must be getting a little better. Because that's a big step for me to give a fuck about someone else. Like, period, point blank. When I read my fifth step, I didn't even feel bad for a lot of stuff. Because I was so drowned in apathy for so long, I had no idea. And so now today, you know, it's getting better. And empathy. My whole integrity system is built on empathy. If I can't empathize with the situation, I don't know what to do about it. But at least that's what I got. So, and John said a lot about why we need these traditions, you know. And it's all real simple, you know. I can't really come up here and say anything that isn't in our literature, you know. I was going to read two things, right? In tradition six, we're kind of what? Our message is outlined in our 12 steps and 12 traditions and further articulated in NA literature. Because our message is also our identity, we take care not to confuse it with the beliefs or literature of other organizations. This whole thing is like, it's clear to me, you know? And I ain't always been right, and I could be wrong about some more stuff. But like, this thing ain't lied to me yet. The literature hasn't lied about anything, ever. And I blew it, went fucked up, come back in and read it, and like, yeah, I should have listened to it. and today I'm learning. There was one gentleman, he was of a particular religious belief, and he wanted to say the friendly prayer at the end, and he celebrated at his anniversary meeting. And if you don't know what those are, it's where the person celebrating gets several people to talk about them. And then maybe they get to talk about it then. So basically, as I perceive it, the meeting becomes about that person. It still carries a message that there is that someone that that person is living a life clean and free of drugs and doing some good stuff, right? But you know, the 12th tradition is the foundation of all our traditions and our principles. Anonymity. You know, it's about humility. I found that there's two reasons, really, predominantly, for breaking traditions, okay? Number one is ignorance. That's fine. That's absolutely fine, you know? I didn't even know there was a difference between AA and NA when I came in here. And I think, I don't imagine why you would. So I asked my sponsor, and he told me. I'm so grateful for the sponsor I got. I learned a lot. And my sponsor is strong in the service, and I got in here into an area that was just growing, and I got to learn a lot of the traditions and how they apply practically in our service structure, because at 90 Days Clean I had to be activity. There was no activity chair. I got some clean time. Let's do this. And that's actually how this all came about. Well, it was a seed, you know. A lot of other people watered it and grew it, right? But, so I picked that stuff up. And he told me what the difference was. It says very clearly in our 12 concept booklet that the traditions are for the group. And people have like said that to me in response to, why aren't you reading them? The group ain't reading them together. Like, I take my recovery from anything I can get. There's 23 other hours, well, not this weekend. We're here all day, right? But usually, a meeting going like an hour and a half, right? I got some shit I got to do outside of it, right? So I got to get recovery from other things. And to say that like the traditions are for the group, so I don't need to be concerned with them, is absurd. And you know what I learned in this process is that with freedom comes responsibility. And if you do not take that responsibility, your freedom will be taken from you. And I believe that to be as true as I'm standing here. So I have a responsibility. And I don't even know how long I got. Someone will give me a hint. Okay. So I'm excited about the traditions. I hold them very dear, right? And because of that, I made some mistakes. I confronted people in a way that was not loving and caring, right? And it happened. And it happened. And it. And it And just because confused, we need a hug. What we need is a hug, right? When I come in here confused, I need a hug. I don't need to be kicked out of here and yelled at, you know? And what I found for myself was that when someone confronts me on something, my first inclination is to become defensive and not open-minded and willing. So I got this little technique for talking to people about traditions that they might not understand. And I did this at the Pittsburgh, where was that? The one just in May, the retreat thing. Someone closed with the Lord's Prayer, and I found it later. And I said, listen, I'm a newcomer, and I don't really understand something. Since you were speaking, you might know. I thought that that we weren't affiliated with any particular religion, and that we don't do the Lord's Prayer in that name. Could you explain this to me? By doing that in that manner, she did not become defensive. She became a little confused. She didn't know what to say. But she didn't feel attacked. And I believe that she actually benefited from that rather than getting a resentment. So it's a little manipulative. Tough shit. I'm telling you what, this is my experience, and that's the best way I've found to deal with it. That is the most loving and caring way I've found to do it. And if you know a better one, I'll take it. Give it to me. But that's what I got. You know, our traditions are non-negotiable, right? But, you know, so being in the area that was just growing, and then I moved to this other town, right? No meeting there. So I tried to start meetings. And I found out that, like, the importance of really having a meeting sometimes supersedes stuff like being fully self-supporting. The church, they said, you don't need to pay me rent. I'm the only one there, right? I don't got $5 a month at the time. I didn't have $5 a month for rent. I ain't giving rent. I'm sorry. Like, I could have just, like, evened it out and said, give you $1 a month or something. But just to get that meeting started was more important than I feel than being self-supporting at that time. Now, that's a big difference between an area already established and groups already established accepting donations from outside sources, I feel. I'm just telling you my experience, though, I believe that the importance of simply having a meeting outweighs everything in the beginning. When this area started, I guess I got the area meeting when they voted in policies. They didn't have the policies until they voted them in. So we did the best we could until we voted them in. That's just how it works. It's sometimes living, surviving, right? And the value in carrying this message is beyond anything. Anything. If I could ever give to one person any small amount of the freedom from my act of addiction that I got in here, my whole life is worth it. It's just that moment. Everything is just worth that moment. I ain't forgot the degradation and the shame and the guilt I know I can't powerless over people and I can't save no one, but if I could say something or affect something in a meeting that doesn't run a newcomer out and save their life, it's worth it. It's how I feel. It's worth it. Condition violation. So there was another area. They told me you only get one home group. And I said, why? They said, unity is spiritual. And I didn't understand that, right? Because there was meetings. They come in and say, this meeting needs support, this meeting needs support, and we have no home group members, right? But there was 50 home group members in this meeting, and 30 in this meeting, you know what I'm saying? And none of this, there's one, two in this meeting. I don't know anything that's different that says you can't have more than one home group. Your place might be full. I ain't saying that, right? But I don't know any decision that you can have more than one home group. Each group is autonomous, right? And the group conscience erases any individual effect that I might carry from group to group. Even in a room of 6 other people, whatever I do in this other meeting isn't even going to affect a different group. And I think carrying the message is a primary purpose, you know? And I do that. It says that we need to give back in order to keep what we have, right? It doesn't say only give back this much, though. It doesn't limit us in the manner in which we can do it. It gives us guidelines on the most effective way we can do it. And when I start seeing these conditions as limiting me and started seeing them as enabling me to do it effectively, is when service became quick becoming a struggle at the at area, at region, and started becoming doing it together. Doing it together. That's what it is. We're doing it together. Just recently, because I was at that region, right? I learned something new, right? So there's a new leadership chair being picked, right? And one guy wanted nominated. That was it. Just one person, right? So I was like, I'll nominate you, right? So they do the vote, and he's the only one. He's like, all right, you win. And then I found out that, and so the old leadership chair, she was pissed. And then I found out that he actually has some mild mental retardation. Whether that limits him in serving or not, I don't know. But apparently she's been working with him for 5 years, and I would assume that she knows him better than I, because I met him that morning. So I don't know. Like, there's a whole question of whether a warm body is enough. I don't know. I don't know if I did something right or wrong like that. But from where I come from, having someone doing it is important enough. Because, you know, it's got guidelines. And in order to follow guidelines, all you need to do is be willing. You don't even need to read because we got it on tape. You know? And I talk about how important this literature is, right? And I found out people can't read. And you know what? I came in here and I couldn't read either. I forgotten how to read when I came in here. I was blaming on the drug because of the crack and acid. That's what it was. I know a lot of people smoke pot. They can read pretty good. So if you can't read, I'll be happy to teach someone. Or it's on tape. All right? So there's no excuse with that. Man, this is just such a blessing to be here. I get so much from service, traditions and concepts aside. They just benefited my recovery so much. With not even talking about the gratitude that I get from giving back, I learned not to have expectations, because expectations will rob my life of an abundance of joy that is there to be taken, but my expectations will squash that and say, that's not exactly what you wanted, you can't have that joy. You know, I learned that. I learned some tolerance. You know, you get in a new service and you're working with other people, other addicts, I got some tolerance. You know, I just learned that the area, in any area, is not a non-profit organization. I didn't know that. Narcotics Anonymous is, but our service structures are not. I didn't know that. I'm learning a lot. And it's a great process, you know. I feel that if I want this freedom, and I feel like I'd like to earn something today, you know. Fuck always trying to get something given to me. It's about time I earn some shit, and about time I earn this freedom. And I do that by giving it away. And I know this is about traditions, but like, I can't practice no principles from the traditions unless I do some steps, alright? So just to make that clear, like, I gotta do some steps for traditions, I don't care about them, alright? And, oh, did I mention the other reason for the tradition breaking? No, I didn't, I'm sorry, that's the important one. Ego. It's ego. That's it. How do I know that it's ego? Because I see them celebrating in the meeting, the personal anniversary. So you don't think I want to have a personal anniversary? It'd be like WWF with like some lights flashing in here, and I'd walk in and it'd be like the rock music. I know, I understand how that feels good. I understand how ego can make me not be a part of, but try to be better than y'all. And when it gets right down to it, I do just want to be a part of. Only when I'm sick do I want to try and be better. It's bullshit. And you know, all our steps, as far as my understanding is concerned, the steps and traditions, our talk traditions, is humility. You can work it any way you want. It's what you see here, stays here when you meet here. Or, it's we're all equal. We're all equal. That's humility. Humility for me in my life is giving a fuck about someone else once. It's that the universe does not revolve around me, and that I can do something else for someone else, because I'm not the most important person. But I am important. I'm just as important as every one of us. And you know what? I don't got to bring that into NA, my ego issues. Well, I can share about it, but I don't got to bring that into how the meeting functions.
Okay. If all this is geared towards humility, then it makes it real clear to me that, like, when I see egotism brought into to the home group and brought into the service structure, there ain't no sicker than me, and no good there, and I need, and I feel that it's my responsibility to approach them in a loving and caring way, which I'm still working on. Because sometimes I go through some feelings and I have to wait. The girl I talked to back in May, I had to wait, it was like 5 hours. I was like, I was pissed for like a while. I was pissed for a while, right? But after 5 hours, I got it. I can do it loving and caring. Because you know what, if I'm not doing it loving and caring, if I'm not doing it to benefit their recovery, to benefit someone else, it's a humility, then why the fuck am I doing it? What's the reason? There's no reason. I'm just doing it with standing up for non-existent virtues. Love that one. Not how much time. Done?
Yeah,
I'd like to hear what someone else has to say. Thanks for letting me share.
All right.
I'd like to thank John and Joe for speaking. We do have some time if anybody else would like to come up and share on the tradition.